Marty Lurie here, back with our inside look at baseball, joined by the Hall of Famer himself, and that is Jerry Coleman, one of the broadcasters for the San Diego Padres. Spring training baseball, I'll start you off with an easy one. You like spring training?
No, and I'll tell you why, because they have 50 guys in each game, 45 of whom I've never heard of. It's very hard to pick up what's going on. You don't have any background in most of these guys, unless you got a book in front of you or some slipping information, Marty. But spring training in broadcasting is not the best place to be. But broadcasting when the season starts is spectacular.
Well, I agree with that. But, you know, going back to your early days in the Yankees back in 1949 and spring training in those days, and we look at spring training today, of course, new stadiums and the crowds are different. But how about the approach of the players? How different is it from your era?
Well, the difference is a number. You know, I think we have 63 players in our camp. That's an unholy amount of people to try to weed out. And 33 of those are pitchers. You got to cut down 30 of those or 20 of those to get to your limit at 12 or 13. So I think it's tough for the managers and the coaches right now to say him, 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 and him. I think it's very hard. But basically, the numbers are incredible. The switches in players going from different. We had one guy here who was on 14 clubs the other day. And that's high. Of course, that many of them, most of the players today, literally, are on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different clubs. So you don't really get that cohesiveness that we had.
You know, looking at the players today, I mean, they come in, they're in perfect shape, and you'd think it's the middle of the season. When you would come into spring training, you guys had to get into shape.
Well, that's what spring training was all about, getting in shape to get ready for the season. But it's the dollar factor now. I got $5,000 the first year that I played, and I was in heaven. I thought that was wonderful. Well, now that's you get more in tip money during the course of the year than that. And players are so involved now that you have a, say you hit 20 home runs, you hit 230, 240, 250, you're looking at $4, $5, $6, $8 million. And it could be a lifetime situation for you. So the players today are smarter than we were. They're bigger than we were. They're stronger than we were, and they're faster than we were, and they know where the real bucks are, and they stay in shape because of that.
Jerry Coleman joins us. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Let's talk a little bit of Padres baseball, and I realize it's early in the spring, and as you say, players today getting honing their skills. They already are in shape, but tell me a little bit about the Padre team that we're going to see.
Well, frankly, I would like to have them put the names on the front and the back so I know who they were. Because if they're walking away from you, you got them. They're walking towards you, you know who they are. We have two pitchers, Young and Peavy. And after that, don't even ask. We have a new bullpen guy, Bell, Heath Bell, who's taken over for Trevor Hoffman. It's going to be just being in that position is difficult. Actually, our starting lineup doesn't look too bad. You got Gonzalez at first. You got Eckstein at second. You got Rodriguez at short. Good enough. You got Kuzminoff at third. You got Hundley at catcher. Headley in the outfield. Garrick and Giles. That's a pretty good starting lineup. Not bad. But when you get past those two pitchers, I can't give you even a breath about what they're going to be or how good they're going to be.
The Dodgers are in Arizona, in Glendale. And, of course, you, I'm sure, from your days of covering baseball, seeing the Dodgers in Vero Beach, you played in Vero Beach, heck, when the Yankees were in St. Petersburg. How different is it to see the Dodgers just down the road in Glendale?
Huge, and they're smart. You know, in Florida, when you have a team to make, you might have to drive 3 hours to get to these various places. Here, the worst you can get is maybe 45 minutes. Everything is fairly close. The weather's better here overall. I think, frankly, Arizona is a much better place. But in 1951, the Yankees replaced the Giants in Arizona. The other team was Cleveland. Two teams. Now they're going to be 15 next year. So the major leagues are split between Arizona and Florida, and I frankly think Arizona's better personally.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that because I did a little bit of research into the origin of the Cactus League. And you're right. It was the Cleveland Indians and the New York Giants. And Bill Veeck was down in Tucson. Horace Stoneham was up here in Phoenix. And then they flip-flop with the Yankees for a year. So what was it like for you guys? Now, you may have been in the service in those days. But tell me about Cactus League baseball, the early days, what it was like.
Well, we did a lot of travel. We drew over 400,000 people that year because we hit the West Coast, L.A., Hollywood, San Diego, San Francisco, Oakland. And we packed the place, every place we played, 20,000, that sort of thing. But I don't know. To me, it was just another game. I just wanted to get ready and get healthy and stay out of trouble and have a good year. So I wasn't concerned about where we were as much as the fact that I was in shape. But I lived in San Francisco now. You got to remember. It was an easy trip for me down here to Phoenix. But going to Florida was an all-day, five-day trip, a long, long trip. And frankly, spring training, I was young and had a great time, and my health was good in most cases. But overall, spring training was a fun time for me.
What was Arizona like in those days, way back when? We see it today, and God, the 14, 15 teams are going to be here, and you got complexes all over the place. What was just the area like?
Desert, really. I mean, there wasn't much to it. We stayed downtown LA, Phoenix, and I think we had one park. They had a park. We went to Tucson a couple of times. But basically, I'm going to have to look at this because you're going back, more than a week. That's about 60 years. And frankly, as I recall, we didn't stay here a long time. We left and hit the road all through the West Coast. And, of course, for George Weiss, who was the general manager of the Yankees, that was money. And we packed him in. It was really great. Of course, that was DiMaggio's last year as well.
The Manny Ramirez holdout, I'm going to call it a holdout, and people are all upset and back and forth. Will he sign? Won't he sign? By the time this is aired, he probably will be a Los Angeles Dodger. But, Jerry, I think back to the Babe Ruth days and Koufax and Drysdale. It's only the early part of March. Heck, it's a holdout. Players held out all the time.
Well, DiMaggio in 1938 held out for 5 to 6 weeks of the season. And finally, when he realized, what he was mad about was that Gehrig was getting more money than he was, and he was the best player on the team. And because Gehrig had the seniority and so forth, he kept his $40,000. Joe wanted $40,000 or whatever. They ended up giving him $26,000 because they would have left Joe in San Francisco for the year. That was different then when free agency was not a part of it. I don't know how to answer. I think the players and all of baseball should be very, very aware of what's going on in this country. There are people out there losing their jobs, their homes, they're desperate, there are 20 million people out of work. I think you got to sit around and say, hey, look, maybe 25 million is enough. I think you ought to get along on 25 million. That's not my call. And, of course, he's got the toughest agent in baseball, Scott Boras, who I think runs more baseball than the commissioner does. And these things are wrong today when people are hurting. You got to look at what's going on around you.
Boy, what a pleasure. Boy, you're in mid-season form. Nice to see you, 85 years old. He's the treasure of baseball, Hall of Famer, my good friend Jerry Coleman. Jerry, thanks so much.
Do you realize if I'd have been on steroids, I'd had 17 lifetime home runs instead of 16? That's what I regret. I could have had one more.
You still look pretty good. All right, we'll be back with more right after these messages.